Now, this week, we have Dr. Yosef and Jeff Moyer with us discussing specialization and exercises. We've talked about this subject matter before, but what we can see is that sometimes there's a little confusion in the field as far as taking some of the material that's been published by our company and maybe misinterpreting some of the information. We want to kind of clear some of those ideas up. And no one better suited for that than Dr. Yosef, who's the expert in this area of specialization. And we want to kind of talk about clearing some of the misconceptions up and kind of what's the criterion on which we establish specialization. And Jeff Moyer with us today from Deep Sports Training, who also, you know, has had some really good questions. And I'm going to kind of turn that over to you, Jeff, because you had some really good questions, I think, that related to the subject matter. So if you would, you can go ahead and lead the way and get our conversation started.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, you know, for those that are familiar, coaches that are familiar with specialized exercises, there's still, even within the coaches, there's a lot of confusion as far as the practicality of them. What is specialized? What is not specialized? How to apply them? When to apply them? And so on and so forth. You know, a lot of coaches use Dr. Bondarchuk's classifications for his specialized exercises as the definition of exercises. And Doc, I was curious. I know you've written a lot of articles for many different websites, NSCA, Elite FTS, many others, about specialized exercises. Would you mind, you know, kind of defining what Dr. Verkhoshansky and yourself as specialized exercises, and maybe the difference between that and the classifications of Dr. Bondarchuk's?
Okay. Glad to, Jeff. Now, but one thing I'm going to kind of reemphasize a little bit, it's not just you mentioned a lot, and Yosef said a little bit of misunderstanding on a topic. There's a tremendous amount of misunderstanding. That's what's kind of precipitating this podcast today. The biggest problem, everybody tosses the word out, but nobody defines it. Everybody's talking about specialized exercises, but nobody ever says what they are. There has to be criteria for all of these things. See, this is how we get into these arguments and discussions of many things in the field. We don't really examine what in the world they are first. Give it a definition. This is what we're talking about. And then stick on point. But when it's a general concept, everybody has a different idea of it. Then we get into 10 different definitions. Everybody's talking his own thing. Like he knows what he's talking about when it comes to specificity. But yet, everybody's talking on a different wavelength. So there has to be some common ground here. We have to at least decide this is what we mean by a specialized exercise. This is specialized. This is a general. Now, of course, there's going to be a gray area in between. But wouldn't it be great to have a discussion on some of this? Instead of, you know, everybody going along on his merry way and nobody really taking a look at exactly what it is. And most of the articles that I see appearing don't really define what they mean by specialized exercises. Now, my definition of it is based on what Verkhoshansky came up with. And he was the initiator of this, if you want, or the originator. And I've, you know, worked on what he did. And I think I've gone kind of beyond that or improved upon this whole concept. And you got to remember, man, many of his exercises and what he did with specialized exercises were done back in the 1970s and 80s. So since then, and since the country broke up in the 90s, there has not been any change, and many people are not making changes to keep up with contemporary training methods. And this is where I have developed many additional specialized exercises based on my technique analysis that I do in many different sports, or biomechanical analyses. But see, biomechanics is getting to be another term that is being used as a catch-all for everything. So I kind of shine away from even using biomechanics and with, you know, technique analyst, specialist, how we analyze technique. So anyway, if we, and the definition given by Bershansky and the one that I used, he had five criteria of what constitutes a specialized exercise. And the exercise has to fulfill at least one of these categories. If it doesn't fulfill one of these criteria, then it is not a specialized exercise. It then becomes a general exercise. All right, so let's be a little more specific here. The main criterion is that the specialized exercise must duplicate. Notice I said duplicate, not just be similar. This is what Lundachuk and others have used. It has to be similar. Well, if it's similar, it's more of a it's more of a general exercise. See, and it would lead up to a specialized. Okay, so, and what do we mean by it must duplicate the neuromuscular pattern? In other words, it must duplicate exactly what the athlete does in a specific joint action or joint actions to be specialized. Now, a specialized exercise can be the total. This is, you know, a specialized exercise. If you're doing, let's say, a shot put, you're doing the shot put. This could be considered, you know, a specialized exercise, but you're not really going to be developing anything except working on total technique. So there are, you know, exercises you could do, but this is rare. We rarely see this if we want to improve performance. If we want to improve performance, we have to take a look at one joint action that is typically a weak link in all of the actions that occur in execution of a skill. We have to take a look at weight shift, hip rotation, shoulder rotation, what the arm does, what's happening in the elbow joint, what's happening in the wrist joint. And once we determine a weakness in one of these, now we have to do an exercise to improve that one action, and then it gets incorporated into the total action. So this criterion of duplication is extremely important. If the exercise does not duplicate what occurs in execution of the competitive skill, it is not specialized. Okay, that's the main one. The second one is you have to develop strength or some other physical quality like explosiveness in the same range of motion as it is displayed in the execution of the skill. Like one example that I like to use, which I think is very simple and clear, is the knee drive. When you do the knee drive, you have to start with the leg behind the body. This is done to develop the hip flexors, which play an important role in driving the thigh forward, in running, in a cutting action, when you're taking that quick first step, and in kicking, any action that requires driving the thigh forward. So we have to start with the leg behind the body. Now, you can do an exercise standing in one place and just raising the knee. This strengthens the hip flexors, but it does not develop them in the same range of motion as they used in execution of the skill. Therefore, just driving your knee straight up in a standing position is great for strengthening the hip flexors, but not the way they're used in execution of the skills that I mentioned, like running or kicking, taking a quick first step, and so on. So that's another very specific criterion. Then the third one is having the same type of muscular contraction and so on, but I won't belabor them right now. I think if we just stick with one or two of those, that should be enough to differentiate many of the exercises that are being used today. So I know I spoke a little longer than I hoped to, but I hope that kind of answers the question, and you could take it from here, Jeff.
Yeah, definitely does. You know, there's a lot of, again, the coaches that are aware of specialized exercises for their practical, for their practicality and trying to apply the exercises. They, there's not a lot of material or none other than what you have come put together, Doc, that really gives practical examples. So that's why, well, one, for whatever reason, the coaches don't read and follow your material, but two, that's why there is so much confusion. So, for example, coaches that try to use Bondarchuk's classification systems of specialized preparatory, specialized developmental exercises, they'll put together their own. Let's say you were just mentioning for throwing, for a quarterback, they will, instead of a specialized developmental, their example of that is quarterbacks throwing to wide receivers, or quarterbacks doing 7-on-7 drills, or making reads, or throwing a heavier ball. Doc, I was curious to these examples. Do they follow under the classification of a specialized developmental? And if not, what would be an example that you would use for that classification?
All right. Here again, we have to get specific. What you described, let's say, doing 7-on-7 or throwing a particular pass pattern, this is, gameplay. What are we trying to improve? The ability of the receiver to catch the ball, the ability of the quarterback to throw the ball to the receiver, to throw the ball to a specific spot where the receiver should be. What are we trying to improve? It's not the ability of the athlete to throw the ball. If we're looking to improve the ability of the quarterback to throw the ball, let's say to throw a good bullet. All right, why can't he throw a good bullet? By bullet, I mean a good, sharp, fast, hard-thrown ball. One that typically is hard for the receiver to handle. Some of the quarterbacks that I developed, this has been the biggest problem that we've had. Finding a receiver that can handle the ball. It's too hard. It hurts their hands. So you have to get a good receiver. But anyway, we're getting to the point of developing the ability of the quarterback to do this. Well, he's not going to be able to throw a better bullet by throwing a pass pattern. He's not going to be able to throw a better bullet by, you're throwing a heavier ball. We have to take a look at his technique. What is he doing technique-wise? So this is the key. Once we see what he's doing technique-wise, where is he lacking? Why isn't he getting the power? Is it in his hip rotation? Is it because of a slow shoulder turn? Is it because there's no separation between the hips and shoulders? Is it because he's not pronating the hands sufficiently? Is it because he's not getting enough wrist flexion? We have to examine each of these actions, joint actions. And once we see a weakness, then we prescribe an exercise for it. But the examples you gave me, Jeff, they're not specific to anything. So how they can call this a specialized exercise is beyond me. And see, in Bondarchuk gave a classification of exercises. Well, these are classifications. It's just like you have classifications of different drugs. These are antibiotics. These are painkillers. These are, for fever. These are whatever. These are classifications. So how, each one within each category, you may find specialized exercises or specialized, medicines, whatever it may be. So the same thing, within that classification, you can have some specialized exercises. But the classification is not a specialized exercise. It's a classification. Here's where the trouble is with definitions. We're not defining what we're talking about. Or else people just don't understand what is meant by a classification versus an exercise. So I don't want to get carried away here, but I hope I'm clearing that up a little bit.
Yes, sir. So let me, using the classifications and under the definition of a specialized exercise, let me, since we're talking about quarterbacks, for example, maybe follow Bonderchuk's classifications with some exercise, and you tell me if I'm on the right track or not. So let's say for a quarterback who's lacking in, let's say, the medial rotation for for the throwing arm, a general preparatory exercise would be just a push-up. And then a specialized preparatory exercise might be a lateral raise. And then a specialized developmental exercise would be the medial rotation. Would that follow under?
Well, all right, here again, we've got to define each one of these. See, just to say general developmental or general specialized, these can be misleading. General developmental means you're developing strength of the muscles. Using a combination or a multitude of exercises. So if we take a look at, let's say, the medial rotation, all right, we have to develop medial rotators. You can develop them by keeping the elbow alongside the body and doing medial lateral rotation. This is a common exercise that we see in rehabilitation in many different areas. Now, that would be good, but is it specific to the throw? No. That's not going to help the quarterback throw the ball. But it's good for strengthening the muscles. So that's why it's called general developmental. See, then when we get into specialized developmental, now we have to be a little bit more specific. We can do a T-bench medial rotation. We can do a lying medial rotation with the active cords. We can do different exercises that can be considered more specific to the action because they're duplicating the neuromuscular pattern. So you can see how each one of these, they fit in beautifully if you think in terms of what each exercise is when you get the definition of it. Then you can see, and if you understand technique, this is really the key. And I think this is where the biggest problem is with most coaches. They don't understand the technique, and it's not their fault. Technique is not stressed in the colleges or universities. Coaching clinics don't look at technique. Everybody takes technique for granted. But if you're going to do a specialized exercise or create a specialized exercise, you have to understand the technique and all of the joint actions that occur in the technique. See, and you can see how we have a poor conception of what really occurs in technique execution. Anytime you see pictures being used, now here's a picture of so-and-so throwing the ball. They describe what happens. Look at the full extension of the arm. Look how his body rotates. Look how he does this. Look how he does that. Well, that's all well and good, but that's not looking at their technique. All it is describing what you can see or what they're doing. So, but you have to understand what each joint action does and why. Then you can come up with the exercise. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think, like you alluded to, one of the big major problems, the origin of specialized exercises were for high-level athletes, and they're based off of the biomechanics or the competitive exercise that those Olympic athletes were going through. And one of the major problems, like you, again, you said, with coaches is they don't fully understand mechanics or technique analysis and where and how the muscles are used. For whatever reason, coaches, track coaches, who are familiar with your work, they don't do the knee drive exercise that you've come up with the active cords. But people will praise Dr. Verkhoshansky, and they can recite his material backwards and forwards. But if you look in his books, his manuals, he has pictures of athletes doing a knee drive exercise with either a barbell or kettlebell or manual resistance, laying on a bench or on a person or on a pommel horse. You've kind of revolutionized or you know, push forward that exercise with the creation of your active cords and using it. But for whatever reason, exercise has not caught on, and that's a great specialized exercise that I have seen tremendous improvement with my athletes. You know, young kids just aren't taught properly how to run, whether it's because they're heel strikers or they're all long levers and their shin does not fold up underneath as it's driving forward, or whatever the multitude of reasons is. And I've seen firsthand just using that exercise not only strengthening the neuromuscular pathway of how the hips are used in running, but athletes who have long levers when they run, they're just all long legs and their shins does not fold up. And that exercise has really helped just to teach them how to do that. And that's improved times by creating a shorter lever. So I just wanted to bring that out because that's a great specialized exercise that's very practical regardless of the age. And then how you do that exercise as the athlete gets older can vary. And then you can, you know, emphasize the speed of motion and the type of muscular contraction. But coaches don't understand that. And I don't know. I find that fascinating. I just don't know why.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you bring up a very good point there, Jeff. And I should relate, like, even to that hip flexor exercise. I work with Verzhansky in the Soviet Union, and I'm very familiar with all his materials and so on. And, you know, we collaborated on some of these things. And even with those exercises, you know, he has one, you know, standing on a pommel horse and raising the thigh up, you know, with the weight hanging off your foot. Well, I tried duplicating that. And in fact, I did duplicate it. I used it with my athletes when I came back to the States, and we had them doing it. But I found it was too doggone cumbersome. You know, the weight boot would keep slipping or falling off, or, you know, they have a hard time balancing themselves on a pommel horse, and, you know, you had to hold on to something above, and it became very hard to do. So I developed the active cords, and I found, hey, this is the simplest way of doing this exercise, and it's a heck of a lot more effective. So that's how that exercise evolved. See, all of these, I didn't just, you know, dream them in the evening. I tried figuring out how can we make these exercises and have them duplicate what goes on in each joint action. So he was the originator. He got the ball rolling. But then I like to think that I kept the ball rolling and I improved the ability of the ball to keep rolling. So, you know, these exercises, they all work. And you say, well, everybody, you know, so familiar with Verzhansky, they praise him, which they should. He deserves it. But they don't use his material. They look at the strength part. Oh, we have to use heavy weights, or we have to use, you know, this combination, or we have to do the contrast, or something like this. But they're not looking at the specialization part. So maybe, and for what reason, I don't know. Just like you say, don't understand why they don't use them. But if they did, they would see so much improvement so quickly. Because you have to understand that when you do a specialized exercise that is truly specialized, you will see immediate changes and typically improvement in your performance on the field. This is guaranteed, hands down. Just as you said, you see all this improvement. I've seen it for years. Where when you do these exercises that duplicate what occurs in the joint action, and it has to duplicate. And once it duplicates, it's amazing how you see the improvement. But if it's just a general exercise, or only similar, you don't see the improvement. This is why, even though many coaches, you know, they do all of these weight training exercises, they say they're specific, you don't see changes in performance. And if you don't see changes in performance, it's not a specialized exercise. Maybe it is another criteria we could use. And typically, they think that by doing a general exercise, they're going to have performance improvement on the field. Well, you don't. There have been a few studies that have appeared lately that even show that the training that is being done in the colleges is not improving speed. And speed is the name of the game today. Everything we do is related to speed. You talked about the throws. Well, how far is the shot put going to go? What a disc is going to go? It depends on how fast the hand is moving at the moment of release. That's the bottom line. It's speed. Not how strong the muscles are. How strong is the material? It's how fast. If you just hit the ball, if you want it to go far, it's how fast that foot was moving prior to contact. That's what's going to determine distance. If you're hitting a tennis ball, it's how fast that racket was moving at the moment of contact. That's going to determine how hard and how fast that ball is going to rebound off the racket. So by doing the exercises that they're doing, even though they call them specialized, we're not seeing improvement in speed. Instead, we're seeing slowness. Now, we're seeing that the athletes, after 4 years of training, have the same times in the 40 meters as they did in high school. And in many cases, it's worse. So we have to look at some of these. These are objective data. Instead of going on assumptions, let's look at reality. Let's look at results. Okay, I'm going a little off topic there. I'll stop and let you pick up again.
No, that's great. And, yeah, I've seen studies as well that allude to college athletes not, their 40 times going down, whether that's just from getting faulty times in high school or just not working on speed in college. But, back to the subject with specialized exercise, I think that's a great point that you made about Dr. Bondarchuk's classifications. You know, it's a classification, just like, aspirin is a type of drug. We need to define what drugs are first, and then you can get into the classifications and the different kinds. But I think that was a great point. Josef, before we wrap up, I was curious if you have any ideas or thoughts on the matter.
I think you guys covered everything today. Nothing that sticks out to me. You guys kind of covered the waterfront there. Good information. Trying to clear that whole subject matter up. There's a lot of confusion and poor understanding of the material. So I just encourage people to reread some of the stuff from Dr. Varysansky or Dr. Bondarchuk and also Dr. Yeston's material, especially the ones related to the specific sports angle of the better athlete, get an idea of what actually is involved. And also, the biomechanics, kinesiology of exercise is a great resource for you to understand what muscles are involved in what way during different movements. I think, this way you can build a better base of knowledge so you can determine if an exercise is indeed specialized or not. So that's all I got for today, guys. I think that there's definitely room for a lot of improvement. We need to get better at it, and one of the ways is educating ourselves through the material that we have available to us already.
I think you're right on, Josef.
I agree, and I think we'll end today, and we'll come back next week. Thank you very much, guys. That was a good conversation.
Thank you.